Right, well, first, I'll just say a massive thanks for taking your time for the interview.
No problem at all, buddy.
Cool. First thing I want to ask is, what got you into the Sonic Revolvers?
Well, it's quite funny, actually, because I went for a job interview at a local hotel, just as a porter, and basically, I was always in covers bands and that, and then I met my manager, who was going to be my manager, and during the interview for the job, basically, I told him I was in a band, this, that, and the other, and he said, well, he'd just left a band, he was in a crap band, and he said, I've just left a band, and I want to start my own band, would you be interested in listening to the stuff, it's all original? So I was like, yeah, why not? So sort of got together, me and Richard Jones, he's the songwriter, guitar player, sort of got together, and then a bit of an acoustic session, see how things went, and then we sort of practiced, and then went into the studio to record our first demo. And then after that, we put adverts in our local papers for a drummer and a bass player, which is Mike Jones and Phil Mealing, who they sort of got the slots after that, which was that's how it all came about, really.
Cool. So, yeah, when you first got together, when you first started making music, what was the idea you were going for? Was there a specific sound you were looking for, or was you just experiment until you got something?
Well, obviously, our influence, we've got pretty similar interests in our influences. We've got the Manic Street Preachers, the Foo Fighters, Biffy Clyro, Queens of the Stone Age to an extent, and me and Richard are both avid fans of Queen and Freddie Mercury, so we sort of hit it off straight away with our musical tastes. So that sort of sound was something that we were really interested in, and something that really ticked all the boxes for us. The classic rock sort of sound, you know, like 70s, 80s rock, so you're thinking Led Zeppelin, AC/DC, all that type of stuff. But then, because of the way I sing, we're hoping to put like that melodic twist on the side of that. So that was the sort of sound we were aiming for. Whether we get that, that's everyone else's opinion. But we sort of like the sound, which has evolved, obviously, because we've all grown as artists doing our original material now. So our sound has obviously grown as we've grown. So it's grown into something new, which we really like, yeah.
Well, when you first started putting your own music out, when you actually first started recording, what was the feeling like amongst you, or what was it like when you actually realised you were starting to make waves, starting to go forward?
It was funny, really, because for me and the other two lads on the EP we've just done, Sons of Mercury, the recording process was something that, in the first demo that we ever did, the recording process was something that I was totally new to. So for me, it was absolutely brilliant, and I don't know, I thought every single song was a number one, you know, on that first album that we had. Obviously, they never went on to be number ones, but it's, you know, when you're in that moment and you're doing recordings and you just think, wow, this is really, really something special. And I don't know, for me personally, it was just a really, really good time. Richard had done it for a long, long time already, so he was sort of a pro in that area, and he'd already done all that recording. But for me, it was my first ever time, so it was a good experience. You know, there was a lot of good banter. We sort of got gelled as a band in the studio. You know, it sort of made us who we are today. And like, when we go into the studio, we have set routines now, and we know exactly what each person's going to be like in the studio, which is also good, because then, you know, like, I don't do any vocals until the afternoon. Sounds like a egotistical thing, but I sing better in the afternoon. So that process was just, obviously, yeah, it was really, really good. It was brilliant.
Yeah, because it was in 2011 you brought out the album Songs for the Revolution. And was there, when you were writing Songs for the Revolution, was there anything that you thought, I want to achieve in this initial release? Is there anything I want to do that's big or fantastic?
We want to reach masses now, whether that's, I don't know, we just want people to hear our music. Every single song that we write, it's not just it's not just words put together, it's from actual happenings in our lives, and it's about politics and the way the working man, and you know, the actual day-to-day rat race that people are in. And we're actually trying to send out messages of peaceful protest in such, really, which was that first album that we did, Songs for the Revolution. We're sort of making a statement saying, this is what we think. We want to, obviously, with the final song, Song for the Revolution, you know, it repeats, we scream a revolution. So basically what we wanted to do is we just wanted to get our music to the masses with hopefully with hopefully them then taking on board what we're saying and jumping on board with us, which I think we got a lot of good fans from that actual first demo.
Yeah, the song Song for the Revolution, that came out almost a year after the album. Was that done on purpose to leave it that long to release it as a single?
Due to, like, I don't know, it might sound silly because we're only a smaller band, but due to popular demand, people wanted to hear that as a single. So what we did was, it was a long time in the making, you know. So we actually did a video for that as well, which is on YouTube. If you just type in the Sonic Revolver Songs for the Revolution, you can see the video for that, which was released at the same time as that single, because so many people were coming to our live shows and they heard that first album that they just wanted to them. I don't know, they just wanted that extra little thing from us. So we re-released that as a single, which sort of went down a storm. And as you can see, we got like 4,000 views or whatever on the video on YouTube.
Just a little while ago, you did release your new EP. Did that feel different compared to doing your album?
Massively. I think looking back on the process, the first album that we did was a huge learning curve for us all. And once we'd actually done that album, it was just, I don't know, there's different sounds. There's better, obviously better riffs because we've all grown as musicians as it is. So yeah, it was a totally different process altogether.
This was an EP compared to the album. How did it feel when you was actually recording this compared to a full?
To be fair, we put probably the same amount of time in the studio, the same amount of effort in, but we just thought that we had five belters instead of we had no sort of fillers, do you know what I mean? So we sort of thought if we released the EP, it was sort of a thank you as well for all the support we've had over the singles and the first album and all the live shows. So it was just sort of a thank you to all our fans. So
yeah, because obviously you've got to this point now, you've got a few releases out. What's it looking like in terms of the future? What have you already started putting plans together?
Yeah, well, we've recently been signed by an independent record label, Freaky Pug Records, which are based in Wolverhampton, and basically it's we want to do one album with them. So we've got another 15 tracks that we're working on and rehearsing at the moment before we go into the studio. And obviously once we get into the studio, we want to get them 15 tracks laid down and then hopefully pick our best 12, with the other ones being B-sides on singles hopefully. So that's where we want to go. Our sound again is changing a little bit, you know, so I think there's a lot more to come from us as a band. Musically, we've got a lot of stuff to bring to the board now, yeah.
I know it's early, but have you got a rough time when you think this material will be released?
Maybe April time. Well, no, sorry, we're recording in April, so we're probably thinking a little bit more like probably September once it's been mixed and mastered and for release. So hopefully, obviously don't hold that, but...
How does it actually feel for yourself when you're out there performing live?
That sort of comes naturally to me. It's something that I've always wanted to do, and when I joined the covers band, it sort of that then they went from there, and sort of when I was doing it live with the original and it's my music, it's absolutely brilliant, and it's a buzz like nothing else that you'll never have before.
Is there a particular goal you've wanted to go for with the band?
I don't know, if we start progressing and becoming bigger and bigger, then obviously we'd love to be able to play in Wembley, you know what I mean, but we can only go as far as the fans allow us to, or you know, the budget allows you to. So you've got to I don't know, that we want to go as far as we can with it. So definitely we'd love to be massive, as big as Muse. Whether that happens, I don't know, but we'd love that to happen.
There is a lot of music out there nowadays, and there's a lot of people who are trying to break into the scene. What would you say was your biggest selling point as a band?
Coming to watch the live shows, you get me as a frontman. I'm quite good at it, and I think if you're into rock music and you're into big heavy sounds and riffs, then it's what you get what it is on the tin basically when you come and see our live performances. But also we're a band that, you know, we look after our fans. If people want to come and watch us, then we'll reward them in ways by, you know, maybe a bit of merchandise or something for them, a free track to download or something like that, you know what I mean? So our fans mean the world to us, and people who actually come and roll all over the place to watch us. Without them people, obviously, you can't do anything. So that's probably our best selling point.
if you got given the opportunity to work with any singer, writer, or producer, or any musician, who would you choose and why would you choose that person?
I think throughout the band, everybody's musical influences, personal influences, will be definitely different, and I think people would want to work with, I think if you asked Rich, he'd probably want to work with Butch Vig, but for me, I'd want to personally work with Alex Turner. That would be my sort of favourite. But, you know, for Rich, he's more of the heavier side, and Butch Vig would probably be a side, so Alex Turner, I'd say, for that one. Or Josh Homme.
Daryl, thank you so much for taking your time. Good luck with Sonic Revolvers, and from there, it's goodbye.
Yep, cheers now.